And Kathy Dawes now, along with Kansas State University cultural geography professor Jeff Smith, and appreciate him coming by today and lots to talk about with him. I know that obviously, we talked last time about Korea. I mean, there's still a lot going on there, no doubt about it.
No doubt. Yes, that's right.
But we thought we'd shift gears just a little bit, and I know you came prepared to talk more about the effects of oil prices around the world, and I know there's a lot of other things. And what I don't think people understand, Jeff, is you're kind of an expert about all different parts of the world. I mean, everywhere, of course, from Russia to Iran, Venezuela. I mean, there's just a lot of things going on in the world today.
Well, and I think the thing that I try to provide is in a perspective of world events, but from a geographic perspective. How do we link it all together from that perspective, and how does geography tie in?
And I guess let's go ahead and talk a bit about the fluctuating price of oil. And I mean, let's go clear back to the 1950s, back when, gosh, I was just starting in this world. But things have really changed through the years, and it'd be kind of interesting to go back and take a pretty hard look at what's going on that way.
Yeah, Kathy, I did want to say thank you again for inviting me. It's always a pleasure to be here and to talk about world events and current events from a geographic perspective. And these are many issues. These are some of the many issues that I talk about in my World Geography class at K-State. So your question is about oil prices and kind of getting a sense of the fluctuation in the oil prices. Between the 1950s and the early 1960s, oil prices were fairly stable at about $25 a barrel. And then in 1973, the price of oil jumped dramatically. In July of 1973, the price went from $19 a barrel to $52 a barrel in February of 1974. And some of us may remember that that was the time in which Egypt and Syria invaded or attacked Israel simultaneously. And it turned into a world crisis when the United States backed Israel and the Soviet Union backed Egypt and Syria. And the result or the response was, let's cut down on the supply of oil to the West, and that led to the oil embargo and the oil crisis. And there was a whole bunch of effects that occurred in the United States. I was old enough to remember when they dropped the federal speed limit in some states like Wyoming and Montana, unlimited speed limit down to 55 miles per hour. And so that was...
If I can interrupt you just a minute, just noticed on the RCPD Twitter. Yes. And we're told now operations have concluded at the 600 block of Fry Drive. Of course, we've been telling you all morning long that officers were in that location in SWAT position, but operations have concluded. They're now serving a search warrant on the residents. They have developed a person of interest and are pursuing leads regarding him at this time. More information is to follow as it becomes available. Anything new from your perspective over there, Dave, or... Okay, appreciate that. And sorry about that, Jeff. You kind of got
problem.
To see news in action here in the
right.
K-Man studio. But where were we?
Yes. I tell you, it's exciting being in the newsroom.
No kidding. Well, kind of hard to go back to oil prices.
Yeah, and it kind of puts things in perspective. You know, we can try to look at things from a global perspective and try to understand what's going on outside of our country or outside the world, around the world. But when it hits home, you know, we kind of focus on what's most important.
That's true.
So I was looking at then effects of the oil, and the price did jump in the 1970s, from 1973 to 1974. And then between mid-1970s and 2004, there were some peaks and some valleys in the price of oil, but the average price was about $50 a barrel. And then things changed. Wow, 2004 to 2008, the price jumped dramatically, and it was about $156 a barrel, and it remained that at an average price over $100 a barrel all the way until August of 2014. And since August of 2014, then, the price has dropped. And this is what I think is really interesting from a geographic perspective, because it's not just how it might affect our pocketbooks, but it affects many things going on around the world. What led to that drop in the price of oil all the way down to about $30 a barrel in January of 2016? Well, one thing was that the United States became a major producer of oil with hydraulic fracturing, known as fracking. And so we then upped our supply, or our production of oil, and that led to a decrease in the oil prices. Today we're at about $50 a barrel, and our gas prices, I think as I was driving by some of the gas stations, I noticed $2.19 per gallon for regular gasoline.
So, and while you mentioned fracking, I noticed that we did have a few more quakes over the weekend.
Yeah,
in Kansas.
I heard that.
People
that
are saying that that's partially the cause. I don't know.
They had a big problem in Oklahoma, and they ended up putting a moratorium on new fracking because of, I guess the idea is that you're lubricating the joints in all of the seismic areas, and it makes it easier for the earthquakes to slip and strike and occur.
All right, we'll continue to watch it. I do want to remind our listeners, too, as always, phone lines are open. If you do have questions for Professor Smith, 537-1350, toll-free 866-776-1350, or you can tweet us at 1350KMAN. Now, I know it might be interesting to talk about Russia and the role it plays when we're talking about oil and global oil prices. Maybe give us some insight into what's going on in Russia also.
Well, there's a lot of changes that have occurred in Russia, or if we go back to the old Soviet Union, when it fell apart in 1991, it led to a lot of chaos in the country. And sure, we have seen from the outside this rise of the new Russia, the pro-democracy, pro-capitalism, pro-free market type country, but it hasn't always been so straightforward and simple. We learned that the Soviet Union, after the fall of the Soviet Union, we learned that they were a very inefficient country and had a lot of financial problems. The new Russia has, as I said, been adjusting to a new form of government with capitalism and democracy and the free market principles. And Boris Yeltsin was the one that got that all going.
We do have a phone call,
if
you don't mind taking
you
a
bet.
Call.
Yep,
hold that thought.
Yep.
Welcome to In Focus. Go ahead, please, if you have a question or comment for Jeff Smith, Cultural Geography Professor at K-State. Go ahead.
Professor, I just wanted to thank you for appearing, and I just wanted to comment. I just it's really refreshing to hear such erudite comments and discussion. And, Kathy, I commend you for inviting such wonderful guests when you have such intelligent, intellectual guests on. It's really refreshing. Thank you.
Well, thank you for calling. And he looks surprised. I don't think he knows who you are, so it wasn't like we planned that
one. Thank you very much.
Always nice to hear. We do appreciate that.
I just try to do my part, right? So what ended up evolving emerging then in the new Russia was a restructured economy where the government and business officials were trying to seek greater efficiency. How can we more efficiently produce things and provide income for our population? What ended up happening, though, was what the literature talks about as crony capitalism. And this is where you've got business leaders who have a very close relationship with the government. And so if we think back to the old Soviet Union, where there was a very elite and very small group of people running the country, the new Russia kind of evolved into a capitalism that was patterned along the same lines. And This was still very inefficient and led to a severe recession. Some people say 10 or 11 year recession, where there was a shortage of everything. And life for the average citizen got worse after the fall of the Soviet Union. The only saving grace, and how we're tying it in with the oil, was that the oil prices were high, and so the country was earning a lot of revenue from the exporting of oil, and things were fairly stable. Vladimir Putin was elected, first time elected. For his first four-year term was between 2000 and 2004, and then he served a second term, consecutive term, 2005 to 2008. And then he, Medvedev was installed as the president, and then Putin came back in 2012. And if he ends up serving both of his consecutive terms again, his term will end in 2020. Well, the reason I bring up Putin is because when the price of oil dropped in 2014, things went from bad to worse. And the average citizen was not living a great life underneath the new Russia. And then when the oil prices dropped, things got a whole lot worse. And opinion polls of Vladimir Putin and the Russian government tanked. And there were a lot of people very, very discontent, have been discontent within Russia. And what many people pointed to is that in the old days, in the Soviet Union days, we were a respected country. We were a country that people feared, and you had to take us seriously. And so Vladimir Putin said, well, how can we get back to that particular state? There's been a number of things that have unfolded. One was the Winter Olympics in Sochi. And that occurred with Sochi. The city of Sochi was the host of the Olympics in February of 2014. And it showcased what Russia was about today. Very modern games, lots and lots of high-tech equipment, and very impressive games. And then, maybe a little bit more on the concerning side, is that there was the crisis in the Ukraine. The Ukrainian government flip-flopped and decided, instead of maintaining strong ties with Russia, they were going to look more towards the West and look more towards the European Union. And Vladimir Putin then used that as a reason for invading into the Crimean Peninsula and a greater presence then within Ukraine. We don't hear about it so much in the news right now, but that war is still going on, and they're having a lot of problems still to this day within Crimea and within the eastern part of Ukraine. And then the third thing that Putin has done is he's gotten very heavily involved in an old ally that he has had, and that is Syria. But he has inserted himself in the civil war within Syria, as well as fighting ISIS. And this, once again, is a great example of Putin trying to put Russia back on the map and trying to say, we are a world player, we are an important country, and you cannot ignore us.
It's funny you mentioned the Olympics. I just happened to watch over the weekend that movie that, of course, when Adolf Hitler first took control, and the Olympics being held there in Germany. And it seems like that's always sort of a status point. I hadn't even thought about that when it came to Russia, but point well taken.
Well, that same idea applies to Brazil, because Brazil has made such great strides in its economic, social, cultural improvements. And so the world, the Olympic Committee, some people say awarded Brazil the Olympics because it was a great opportunity to showcase or to reward them for the progress they had made.
You know, but it seems like when times are tough, though, it would be kind of a frivolous thing to do. But, I mean, it is definitely status. There's no doubt about that. Yep. Let's go ahead and take a break. It's now 9:20, and I know we have some other things we could look at, too, while you're here today. I know continuing to hear things from Iran, Venezuela, interestingly. I have had some acquaintance with what's going on there also. But, again, we have with us today Kansas State University cultural geography professor Jeff Smith, and, again, 537-1350 if you have questions or comments.
When catastrophe hits and your home or office is damaged,